Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Let's Get Snagging. If you are in the process of buying or have bought a new build property, then this podcast is for you. My name is Ian Lively of Lively Professional Services Limited. In this week's episode, we are going to be talking about how to do your own snagging inspection. Now that you have got the keys to your new home, you will probably be asked by your builder for a snagging list. This is usually within the first 7 to 10 days that he will need it. The thought of having to snag your new home can be a little scary, especially if you don't know what you are looking for. You might also have the thought about using the services of a professional snagger to do this for you. This will certainly make it a lot easier and give you peace of mind. But remember, there is a cost to using a professional snagger which might put you off, especially when money is tight and you want to use whatever spare cash you have to buy new things for your new home. Spending money on a professional snagger is an expense you can do without, and I fully understand that. So when does the snagging process start? The start of the snagging process should begin at the home demonstration. This is because this is the first opportunity you will have to visit and look at your brand new home. You'll be given an opportunity during your home demonstration and again at key handover to inspect your new property. My advice is to take your time and do this carefully at both the home demonstration and again at key handover. That's because there can be a time difference between when you have your home demonstration and when you get the keys to your new house, which means there could have been trades in your home who could have created more snags. Some builders will want to do the home demonstration and key handover on the same day. This is never a good idea, and you will have enough to think about without having to go through a home demonstration with the site manager. During your home demonstration, take your time and have a good look around. Don't let the site manager rush you through it. This will be the first time you have seen your brand new house and you will be excited. You're seeing it for the first time and there is a lot to take in. If you are not sure of anything, don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you missed or don't understand what the site manager is telling you, ask him to go through it again. He won't mind and should be happy to explain it to you again. There are a few things which you need to look at during your home demonstration and again at key handover. You need to pay particular attention to your windows for any scratch glass. Now, when you look through your windows, stand 1 meter away, don't go right up to the glass, and try and have a background such as another building or a tree when you look through it. This will give a contrast and make any scratches stand out. Don't look at the sky, as this will make them difficult to see. Also, check any mirrors and shower screens for scratches and damage. Check your kitchen units and appliances, any floor coverings that have been included, wall and floor tiling, sanitary ware, and any other furniture fitted by the builder, such as wardrobes. Check these for damage and make sure any issues you have seen are logged on the home demonstration form or key handover form. On your completion day, your builder will ask you for a snagging list. This is within the first 7 to 10 days. They should explain to you that this is for the items we have just spoken about. Because if you don't let them know in the first 7 to 10 days about scratches and chips, after this period, they will most likely not rectify them, as they could have been done by yourselves moving in. Don't let your site manager panic you into rushing into giving them a snagging list. It's important to remember that during the first 2 years of your warranty agreement, your builder has a responsibility to put right any defects which you could not see at the time of moving in, or those that develop later. If you have not been told about your warranty agreement, then I would ask the sales or site manager to explain it, as there are a number of warranties builders use. However, the three most popular ones are the NHBC, Premier Guarantee, and LABC, or Local Authority Building Control. The NHBC are probably the best of a bad bunch. You need to know what your warranty covers, your rights, and how the warranty claims procedure works should you need to make a claim. All new homeowners can identify snags. These are usually the more obvious ones, such as minor decoration imperfections, chips and dents. These are fine, but they are mostly minor defects, and the more serious ones go unnoticed. This is not the homeowner's fault. Most new build homeowners don't know how their home has been constructed and possibly don't have a trade or industry background to know what to look for. If you are unsure of what to look for, why don't you check out our YouTube channel? The videos on it will give you an idea of what to look for and where to look. If you are lucky, you might have a family member or a friend who has some experience and knows what to look for. This can be a great help to new home buyers. Presenting your site manager with an easy to follow snagging list will help him. If you can also include photographs and a location of where the snags are, then this will really help. When you are going to do your snagging inspection, this should be carried out in a methodical way which your site manager will appreciate. The report should be easy to follow. It should also clearly describe what the snag is and where it is. Just saying there is a dent in the living room wall won't help your site manager, as there are four walls in a room. Hopefully, The advice in this podcast will help new build homeowners to put together their snagging list. So where should you start to do your snagging list? I usually start with the external areas first. I would advise starting at the road or footpath because this gives you a good view of your front elevation. Check your drive and paths for any damage or loose pavings. If it has rained, check if these are holding water. Check the landscaping. Does it look okay? Is the turf being laid flat with no damage or footmarks? Check there are no dead plants which need replacing. If the garden areas are just soil, have they been rotivated and raked flat with no stones larger than 25 millimetres left, and there should be no builder's rubble or debris left in the ground. Check the fencing is okay. Are the posts straight? Are the gaps underneath the fence which might need a gravel board fitting? Does the gate open and close properly? And both the latch and the bolt work correctly? Look at the front of your house. Does the brickwork look clean with no staining? Are there any damaged bricks or render if it's been rendered? If you have arch stone sills and heads, are these clean with no damage or cracks? Check your windows and windowsills for any scratches or damage. Are the windows sealed? Is the mastic damaged or looks untidy? Around the house, the soil or chippings should be 150 millimeters lower than the damp-proof course. Sometimes the builder will fit a double DPC, but nowhere in the NHBC standards does it say that this means the ground level shouldn't be 150 mil lower than the damp-proof course. Are the air bricks blocked, and is the ground sloping away from them? There should be a 75 mil gap below the air brick to the ground level. Check your fascia boards and barge boards and soffit for any damage. And are they clean? Check the roof tiles or slates for any damage. Or if they're not lying flat, going up the valleys, are the ridge tiles damaged and securely fixed? You can do this from across the road at the front and at the back of the garden area at the rear of the property. Follow the same method with all of your elevations, front, left, right, and rear, whichever applies to your property. Once you have completed the external areas of the house, if you have a garage, then you can inspect it using the same method as when you inspected the external areas of your property. However, on the internal area of your garage, you will also need to check the brickwork in the pikes. Is it fully filled to the underside of the felt with no gaps? If it is a double garage shared with your neighbour, there should be fire stopping on top of the party wall. This will be insulation or other material. If the garage is internal with a room above it, if you have a garage personnel door into the hallway or other room, this should be a fire door. The gaps around the door should not exceed 4 millimetres sides and head and 8 to 10 millimetres at the bottom. The door should have a door closer fitted and the casing should have a brush strip fitted to the door to close against. You need to check if the electrics are working correctly. Is there a bulb fitted in the light? If detached, is the electric feed clipped against the brickwork? Are the electrical fittings such as the RCD and sockets and light switch fitted to a backboard to protect them from any water ingress if it is a single skin garage? You need to check the doors work properly, check for any damage or scratches, and if they are sealed correctly, are the walls and floor slab clean of any excess mortar droppings or staining? If there are internal brick or block pillars supporting the walls, do they project above the bottom of the roof truss, giving support into the pikes? Check the roof timbers for damage. Does the diagonal or any other bracing butt up to the brickwork? Are the wall plate straps screwed to the brickwork? Also check the felt for any damage. If it is an internal garage, check the ceiling line around the garage and around any pipes or wire penetrations. There should be no gaps to allow fire to spread to the upper floors. These are normally filled with an intermittent mastic or fire collar if the penetration is more than 50 millimetres. Once you have completed the external elevations of your house, you can now move on to the inside. I would start at your front door and work inwards to the hall and to each room that radiates from it. Try to do your inspection either in a clockwise or anticlockwise manner. This will help your site manager. Start by checking the front door and frame for any damage or scratches. Does it open and close properly? And don't forget the letterbox. Check the walls for damage or poor plastering, such as plasterboard joints and any trowel marks. Check the floor slab for any damage. If it's cracked, are the cracks excessive? These might need filling. If you have had any floor coverings fitted, check these for any marks or any damage. Check the internal doors close and latch without rattling on the keeper. Is there any visible damage to the door or handle? Check the paintwork, including all woodwork, walls and ceiling, for damage or poor quality. Also check the windows. Do they open correctly? Are they or the glass scratched or damaged? Remember to have a background when looking for scratches. This contrast will highlight them. Check your kitchen units and worktops for scratches and damage. Do the doors and drawers, soft close mechanism, work properly? Do the door edges and bottoms line up? Check your appliances work and are secure in place. You will be surprised the number of appliances we see that aren't. Check any wall and floor tilings for damage or excess lipping in the kitchens and bathrooms. Are the kitchen lights and sockets working, such as the grid switch? And do the switches on the grid switch operate the appliances that are marked on them, such as the dishwasher extract a rod and fridge. Check your patios or bifold doors open and close correctly and are not damaged, and check the glass again to see it's not scratched. So now you've completed the downstairs, follow this method for the stairs, landing and bedrooms. Bathrooms as well, don't forget your own suites. Remember, do it methodically, make it so your builder will be able to follow your list. So once you have finished your snagging list for the externals and internal areas of your house, the last place you need to check is your roof space. You'll need a pair of steps or a small ladder for this and a torch. Please don't miss this area, as we often find some serious issues in the roof space. Start by looking at your insulation. Is it flat and level without any missing or gaps? Is the felt intact and not damaged? Are the bathroom and ensuite extractor fan ducts connected to the outside by a tile vent or by a solid duct into the external walls? These should also be insulated and have no restrictions to the airflow. If they are connected to the tile vent with tape to seal it, they also need to be mechanically fixed with a Jubilee clip. If they have used a flexible ducting, this should be no longer than 1500 millimeters. Otherwise, it should be a solid ducting. This is a building regulation. Check any roof vents are connected and the felt around them is not cut out too big. Do your soil stacks have air admittance valves fitted, sometimes called Durgo valves, or are they connected directly to a roof tile vent? Check any block work is filled and tight up to the underside of the felt on your planks. If it is a party wall between you and your neighbour, there should be fire stopping on top of the block work and also between the felt and the tiles. If you have a spandrel panel, then there should also be fire stopping underneath it. If you have any mechanical ventilation system installed, there should also be a walkway to it for you to maintain it. These are the areas that you need to look at when doing your snagging list. Once you have finished your snagging list, you can give it to your builder. Always, always send this list by email to the customer care department. Even if you are going to give any snags to your site manager, ask customer care to log them on your file. That way, you'll have an audit trail should you ever need to go to resolution with your warranty provider. Whilst this list is not exhaustive, it is a good guide for you and should help you to complete your snagging list for your builder. However, my advice would always be to use a third-party professional to snag your new build home. They will always identify more defects and produce a professional snagging report for you to give to your builder. So as we finish this podcast, I hope this has helped. Good luck with your snagging, and don't forget, if you have any comments or topics you would like me to cover, then drop me an email to socials@livelyprofessionalservices.co.uk. If you would like more information, then why don't you visit our webpage at www.livelyprofessionalservices.co.uk, or you can visit our YouTube channel, again, at livelyprofessionalservices.co.uk. I hope you enjoyed this episode or any of the other episodes. Please don't forget to like us, review us, and subscribe to keep up to date with new episodes on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts. This really does help us to improve the channel. So until next time, thank you everyone for joining me today, and I look forward to talking to you soon.